Today we are going to be continuing in the book of Romans. Next week I'm going to kind of step away from Romans briefly, but I think today is really going to be a great day. If you have your Bibles with you, you can open them to Romans chapter 8, and we are going to be looking at verses 28 through 39, and this is probably, for many of us, probably the most encouraging pieces of Scripture. Probably one that we've memorized, at least for some of us we have probably. If you haven't, I encourage you to do so. And I want to begin by kind of giving you some words of encouragement that I hope will help you. And that is that God does not waste anything in our lives. And all of the past events of our lives, all of them have been a part of God's plan to make us the person that we are today. He doesn't waste anything. Some of us may think that our life has been kind of a series of, failures or a series of mistakes or a series of difficult situations that we seem to be just kind of spinning our wheels. That things are happening to us and we've just kind of given in to it. But God does not waste good people. And you are good people. One of the verses that we're going to look at today is verse 28. And I want to read it to you. It says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose." This verse is true for me as much as it is true for you. I'm not here by accident, and neither are you. God has called you to this place to be here today. God has been taking all of the events of your life, the highs and the lows, and He has been working them out for His glory. Now, for the past few weeks, we have been talking about this, the benefits of new life in Christ. We've talked about the Holy Spirit. We've talked about hope. Today, I want to talk about victory. And as I mentioned a few weeks back in chapter 8, Paul is teaching us about the stages of our salvation, glorification. And we are here today to experience and to understand this victory that we have in Christ. This victory that we now experience is not just a future blessing. It is a present benefit as well. We have absolutely nothing to fear or nothing to be worried about, because God is in control. I was looking at the Scripture again, and I thought of four areas where we have victory as I was looking at these verses. So let's begin. Number one, we have victory in all circumstances. Romans 8, verses 28 and 29 says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purposes. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers." This is probably, verse 28, is probably one of the most amazing, most important, and probably the most beautiful verses in the whole Bible. And if you don't have this verse memorized, or you don't have it taped up somewhere on your, your refrigerator or, by your bedside or in your Bible, if you don't have it outlined or circled, maybe you should do that today. Because this verse declares is a declaration, rather, of God's sovereignty and power. It is a revelation of God's unconditional love for you and I. A promise of good and a world of bad. I think we should start each day reading that verse, dwelling in its truth, remembering it, that even in the midst of hardship, we can still praise God. I think of people in our past, people that became famous, not because they were celebrities, not because they were heroic, but because of their character. And the person that just came to my mind was Corrie Ten Boom. We think of Billy Graham. We think of people who stood up for what was right, even in the midst of hardship. You see, God takes the good and the bad, and He works it all out for good. God takes all the evil, the rotten, the sinful stuff around us, and He turns it around. Every time Satan thinks he has won some kind of victory, God thwarts it by turning that evil into good. Because God is in the business of working things out for good. In his book, Captured by Grace, David Jeremiah dissects Romans 8:28 piece by piece. And this is what he says. As we explore the many implications of this verse, let us say a word about what is not said. It does not say that everything will work out the way you'd like if you all just wait. It does not say that you can make things work out through positive thinking. It does not say that there is no point in what we do because God pulls all the strings. It does say that God is in control, that He will intervene in this world to use every event as part of His comprehensive plan for our lives, His plan, but our ultimate good. He is working all the time in all events for the good of you and I. This verse is proof that we are conquerors. We have victory in every situation because God is in control. God works the details of our lives all out for good. He is working in all things. Not just some things, not just in the really important things, but in all things. David Jeremiah also points out that the promise of Romans 8:28 is conditional. God works all things for good to what? To those who love Him. For those who are called according to His purposes, not our own. The purpose is not for everyone, but it is for us. It is for those of us who have experienced new life in Christ, who have experienced the promise made to God's people. It is a benefit to us. I love this verse. And I love what it is saying about God's nature and about His love for us. It will be victorious. We will be victorious in all situations because God is at work in our lives. And whatever we are going through right now, whatever difficulties it may be, God is going to work it out for good. Now you may say, what about Pastor Steve at First Lutheran? Did God work it out for good? Well, I, as being a pastor for over 20 years, I've sat down with families, with spouses who have lost their loved ones to cancer, to sickness, and they've asked me that question, was that good? And I will tell you this, God is at work It may not be the answer that we want, but today is the day when Steve's wife is no longer in pain, is no longer suffering, is no longer having to go through chemotherapy, is no longer having to go through the agony of a day-to-day struggles. The greatest victory that we have in life is to be able to stand before Jesus and hear Him say those wonderful words. Welcome home, my good and faithful servant. The second thing that we understand from our scripture this morning is that we have our victory in Jesus is preordained. It is not an afterthought. It is not an accident. It is not a whim. The victory was part of God's plan from the very beginning. In Romans 8, verses 29 and 30, it says, "For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed in the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified." And if we look at these verses, we read three things that are truth, irrefutably. God's purposes will stand because God is in control. The victory over sin was part of the plan from the very beginning of time. And the work of salvation is secured for us by God. He does the heavy lifting. He does it all for us. Paul here is talking about God's work in the life of a believer, and he uses five different actions of God. He says, first, those He foreknew, which means those He knew beforehand. God, He chose, the ones God chose beforehand. He also predestined, which means those He chose or appointed beforehand, which tells us today that God directs our destiny. He also called. There's a difference between the outward call to believers that we hear from evangelists and preachers and the inward calling of God. This is what Paul is referring to here, that inward calling that each one of us have been given. And those He calls, He justifies. We have learned that justification is being right with God. And so when we develop a relationship with God, we have that connection where the past is gone, we are new. We are made right in the image of God. And finally, those He justified, He glorified. Our eternal security is derived from our understanding that God is in charge. He is putting all the pieces together for our good. Not for our own benefit, but to praise Him and to give Him glory. The main point that Paul is trying to say here again is driving home in this passage the fact that victorious because of what God has done. Our victory is not just something that we look forward to in the future, because in reality, the victory has already been won, so we are in good shape. And we can enjoy the adventure of life, and it is an adventure, because we have victory. The victory that we have as a part of this new life today should enable us to enjoy life to the fullest. And I want to say, on a personal note, what a wonderful thing it would be if we saw more smiles in the world, huh? If we saw more people just happy. You know, last week I've talked about this idea that sometimes we wake up in the morning and we just, you know, our hope is that we can just get through the day, that, you know, we're kind of in that survival mode. And I think that what we should be doing, and I need to do it more often myself, is instead of getting up in the morning and I got this long list of stuff I got to do, and oh man. Instead, we should get up in the morning and just say, praise God, man. I'm going to live today. Whatever happens today, whatever obstacles may be in my way, I'm going to smile and I'm going to live because God is in control and I have victory over whatever it is that is going to come my way. Wouldn't this world be a better place if people had that kind of attitude? I mean, we're already seeing in this church the victory that we have in Jesus by the answers of prayer. So we should be rejoicing. We should be climbing to the highest place and rejoicing because of what God is doing. Each day, live your life to the fullest. We do not need to freak out when things seem to go bad, because we know that God will always work things out for good. We are already victorious. That's Paul's main point here. It reminded us that our victory is clearly seen in the transition that he goes from verses 29 and 30 to verse 31, which leads us to the next part of this, which is we have victory through Jesus Christ. The case that Paul has been making is that God is for us. God is on our side. He has been on our side from the very beginning. God is on the scene, and we have nothing to worry about. Verses 31 through 34 says, what we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? For it is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who is raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. We are conquerors through Jesus Christ. And he offers the sacrifice of Christ as an example of how victorious we are. You know, sometimes Satan will try to bring charges against us. He tries to manipulate the game. He often tries to use our sin to be a wedge between us and God. But like a great lawyer, we have an advocate in Jesus Christ, who died, who rose again, sits at the right hand of God as an advocate interceding for us. It's like Jesus is saying to Satan, I have already paid the penalty of that sin. You cannot hold it against them. The work of Christ has brought us victory over death, victory over guilt, victory over sin, and victory over any accusation. Because God is the one who has justified us, and because of that, no one has the right to condemn us. And then finally, we have victory over our enemies. Paul builds on this idea of victory through Christ by showing us that we have victory over those who are against us. Verses 35 through 39 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? For as it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But know in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height or depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is where Paul gets to the heart of the matter. This is where he moves into his application. His purpose is to encourage us today to live victorious Christian lives, because we've already been secured by God, and we already have victory. Paul gives us this list of things. He says, does tribulation separate us? Does distress? Does hunger? Does being so poor that we can't even afford clothes? The threat of death? death itself? Does any of these things have the ability to separate us from God? No. No power can separate us from the love of Christ. And these things should not shake our faith in any way. In fact, Paul says, and even Jesus said, they are to be expected. Suffering for Christ is expected. It's going to happen. But it's not a problem. Because even in the midst of these difficulties, we are victorious. We are conquerors. I love what Paul says. He says, we're not just conquerors, but we are overwhelming conquerors. We see that on a daily basis. You think about how this church has been here for 95 years. This building has withstood a lot. Not just internally, but it has withstood a lot outside the church too, in the community. People have come and gone. But the ministry continues. And I hope and pray that the ministry of this church will go beyond each one of us. So that Nicholas will be able to have a place to worship. So that Caitlin and Marley and Dylan and the others will have a place to worship. That this ministry that we have today will continue on. And that they too will claim victory in their lives. Just in case you're still unsure of what Paul is saying, he throws in a bunch more stuff into the mix. He says, can life or death separate us from Christ? Can angels or demons, things in the present, things in the future, can they separate us from Christ? Can height or death separate us from Christ? And at that point, you think, okay, he's covered all the bases. But then he goes on and says, or any other created thing. We get it. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And again, one of Paul's main points is explaining how victorious we are. And it helps us to understand completely the security that we have in Christ. Can anything separate us? Nothing. And if you look at this piece of scripture, you'll notice how Paul covers the whole spectrum of time. In verse 28, he shows how God is working all things in the present together for our good. Verses 29 and 30, he talks about how our victory is secured, and it was secured way in the past. And then in verse 31 through 39, he shows us that we are conquerors. And that fact that we are conquerors is not just for today, but it is for the future. It is all-encompassing. It is totally complete. Our confidence cannot be shaken, for we have already won. God is on our side. And when God is on our side, how can we lose? Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just pray right now that as we delve into this idea that we are victors, that we are conquerors through Christ, it's a tough thing sometimes for us to see it because we're in the midst of such struggles. And yet, Lord, help us to leave here today knowing that no matter what may transpire, no matter what is going to happen in our lives right now, whatever struggles we may be facing, obstacles that may be in our way, whatever pains we may be experiencing, whether it be physical, emotional, spiritual, whatever it may be, whatever worries we may have, Lord, you have already won the battle. And because of our love for you, and because we have said yes to you, we too can claim victory. Boy, that's a powerful thing. I hope that everyone, every person here today will leave this place with a smile on their face, knowing that they're secure in you. And that whatever obstacles, they've already won. And we pray this in your name. Amen.